to be here and to give here and to share with you some thoughts. I picked the topic. Rabbi Feder said I should do something on the area of, he said Derech Chaim. So I was thinking for a minute what exactly that would mean, what would qualify for Derech Chaim, and immediately what came to my mind was the idea of the Shvil Hazav. So I think, as you'll see, when we do a little bit of it, you'll see that it definitely qualifies as an area that relates to Derech Chaim. So what I'd like to do really is present one major problem that has two that expresses itself in two different places. The sheets, you'll see, I gave out the two parak in the first parak and the second parak, you know, parak Aleph and parak Bet of Hilchot Deo. I'm going to just start off with some basic information and just to give a little bit of a background in terms of the Rambam's approach to what the Shvil Hazav is, and then we'll get in a few minutes to the major problem. So just in terms of background, it's interesting. The Rambam speaks about the Shvil Hazav, which is usually translated as the golden mean. He speaks about it in Shmona Prakim and in Hilchot Deo, and for the less so, I would say, in the Mor Nebuchadnezzar. You don't really find so much in the Mor Nebuchadnezzar a discussion of the Shvil Hazav. But in Hilchot Deo, it's very, very important, very prominent, especially in the first two Prakim. And in Shmona Prakim also, it comes, it's very important, it's treated extensively. So in Hilchot Deo, just to begin with, the way the Rambam describes it, he says like this. He says that they are deot harbe, yish l'chol echad ve'echad m'bnei adam. He says, v'zu mishuna mizu u'ruchoka mimenu b'yoser. So just to translate deot, we're going to say we're talking about character traits. And he says that there are different types of character traits that people have. He's going to give examples. He says that yesh adam shu bal chema koes tamid, v'yesh adam shu daitim yusheves alav. So, for example, he starts off and he talks about anger. And he says, you have an individual, you have a person who is very quick to get angry, and they get angry, right, often. And then on the other hand, you have a person who will be calm, right, more timid type of character, the anal kois klop. Okay, so that's the first trait that he gives as an example. Then he says, you can have an example, you have yesh adam shu go v'lei b'yoser, v'yeshu hu shafal ruach admoh. So you have a person who is pride, who's exceedingly proud, right? Proud of himself, proud individual. And then you have a person who on the other side is more modest, more meek, let's say shuffle ruach, right? In other words, he has, let's say, a low sense of self, we'll say for right now. So two extremes. He talks about the Baal Taiva, and he says the person who enjoys pleasure, who experiences pleasure, runs after pleasure. And on the other side, you say a person who's more of an ascetic type. So the Rambam gives different examples. And just for the purposes of, the time, I'm not going to go through all of the different examples. But basically, what's the Rambam's approach in terms of all of these character traits? So anybody familiar, what would you say? What's the approach in terms of all of the different types of character traits? What's the Rambam's position? What's the best approach? Somewhere in the middle, right? Okay, somewhere in the middle, exactly. You don't want to be on either extreme. You don't want to be the person who gets angry often, right? And at the same time, you don't want to be the person who's incapable of getting angry. And he makes that point pretty clearly in Halacha Gimel. He says, Shnei kitzovot harachokot zu mizu, b'kol deya, einam derach tova, v'ein roi lo la'odam la'leches behen, v'lo la'lamdan la'asma, right? The two extremes on any one of these traits is not good, it's not roy, it's not fit for a person to be on either extreme of these traits. Imatza tivo no tila achas man, if a person finds that his character is going to one side, then he says, Yachzer asmo lemuta v'yelech b'derach hatobim v'hi derach yishar, right? The person wants to balance himself, he wants to go to the derach yishar, which is really in between the two extremes. Okay, and Dalet, he tells us the derach yishara is the midah beinus, b'chol deya v'deya. Mikol Hadeus, right? The Derech Yishara, the appropriate path, the right path, is the Midah Beninus. Okay. Now, I may not be saying anything at this point that's new here to anybody, okay, but I don't want to assume anything, so I just wanted to just start off with just establishing what this idea is, this principle. So, pretty much, I would say, the Rambam goes on, and you don't, I mean, there are different questions, but there's no major problem, and the problems really begin in Halacha Dalet. Okay, so here, when he gets to Halacha Dalet, I think it's Dalet there, my Halacha here, it might be a little different, but he says like this, he says, here it's Hey, he says, Mishehu medaktik al asmo biyoser. Okay, so he introduces a concept here where he says, Mishehu medaktik al asmo biyoser, v'yisrachak medea bebeninis me'at letzadzeh o letzadzeh, Nikra Chassid. Is it Dalet in yours or Hey?
Hey.
Okay, fine. Hey. Okay. So he says, if a person is medaktik al atzmo, and he's medaktik al atzmo, he's particular with himself, he's stringent upon himself, and he veers off from the day of baininess me'at, right, to one side a little bit, he's a nikra chassid, right? That's negative or positive, right? What would you say? Right, it seems to be positive, right? A chassid is usually a positive term. Kesed mishi yisrachak migova leiv ad hakotze ha'achron. Right, so a person goes from gova leiv, from pride, and he goes to the other extreme, via shafal ruach b'yoser nikra chassid. Right, so now he's telling you that if you go from the middle, right, or if you go from the gova leiv and you go to the opposite extreme, you're a shafal ruach, you're considered to be a chassid. This is midas chassidus. If the person just goes to the middle, he's an anav, he's nikra chacham. So if you're just going to the middle now, you're considered to be a chacham. But if you go to the opposite extreme and you're a shafal ruach, you're a chassid. So what's the problem here? Okay, how would we formulate it? What would you say? What's the question here? Anyone want to... Right. In other words, the middle path is the best path, and that's pretty clear what he said in Gimel and Dalet. That's the Derech Yishar, it's the Mida Beninus, right? It's a straightforward problem that when you get to Hay, how could you call a person a chassid when the chassid you're saying is he's the person who goes to the extreme and he's the Shofar Ruach, right? That's not the Mida Beninus anymore, right? In the Sarachagata Emsa, if he just goes to the Emsa, he's a chacham. But if he goes to the opposite extreme, if he goes all the way to being a shafal ruach, then he's considered to be a chassid. Right? So this is a difficulty. I mean, there's no question about it. This is a difficulty. It's a problem. Now, he goes a little bit further, and he says, he continues, he says, lefnim mishur sadin. So, you know, there's there also, it seems to be, it's a positive thing that the person's going to this extreme. But I'll show you in another case, you'll see, you have the same type of problem, but it's even more glaring. It's more obvious, right? In other words, if the idea of the middle path and the medium is supposed to guide a person and tell a person how to live, so how can you have an example in a, you know, where you're telling a person that they should go and to the opposite extreme, right? It violates the whole principle that he's setting up. But actually, in one halacha, you'll see here in another halacha that the problem is even bigger, right? In other words, that it's more obvious, more apparent. But and that's really in Perek Bet. So take a look at Perek Bet, and we'll look at halacha Bet and Gimel. So in Bet, he's telling us what to do, how to heal, right? How to heal the person whose traits are out of balance. Okay, so, and he says this also in Shmona Prakam. He says, Kesed hi refuasam. Mishu bal chema, right, the person gets very angry, right, and he's prone to anger. So what should he do? Omrim lo, lahan higatsmo shimhuka v'kula yargish kla. So he should basically train himself to go the opposite extreme, so that if he's hit, if he's abused physically, he shouldn't respond at all, right, he shouldn't feel it. Right, so he's going to the opposite extreme so that he could train himself to not have kas, right, to not have chema anymore. Okay, then he says, right, and here's the example, the person experiences a lot of pride and is arrogant, he should go to the opposite extreme, okay, in order to break that that feeling, that tendency. And he says, and just skipping a little bit here, he says, "Ad sheya'akir gova halev v'yachzor l'derech ha'emtzayis." So he wants to uproot the arrogance in order to then get to the middle, right? To get to the middle path. Shehi derech tova. U'l'kishayachzor l'derech ha'emtzayis yelach b'kol yamav. Right? So he's telling you, right, they're saying a person, he's sick, and he's one end, right, he's on one end of the spectrum, and he gets angry often, or he's very arrogant. So the way you break that trait is by going to the opposite extreme. Now, once you break it by going to the opposite extreme, then he says you're in the derech emtzayis, you're in the middle, that's the derech tova, and that's where you want to be kol yamav. Ve'akav ze yaseh b'shar kol adeyos. Okay, and then he now expands it to all the deos. He's saying you go from one side if you're on one extreme, and you want to go to the opposite to break it, and then you want to head in the middle path. The mida beinonis shebekol dea v'dea. Okay, and that's right. Parak bet, halacha bet, and then right after the Rambam says something which is astonishing. Right, it's just an amazing contradiction from one halacha to another halacha. Right, how could the Rambam say something that goes against what he just says? He says v'yesh deos she'asur lo la'adam linhog behen beveinonis. He says there are traits that are prohibited, that a person shouldn't be nohig in the beinonis, right in the middle. And he should be yisrachik, he should go to the katsa acher. So what examples does he give? Go velev, right? He says, ein derech tova shia adam ana bilvad, el shia shafal ruach v'tia yurucha nemuchal mod. So it's not, in other words, a person shouldn't just be the anav, which, right, in Parak Aleph he said is the hacham. He says if you're a go velev, you want to go to the opposite side in order to go to the opposite extreme to be a shafal ruach, right? In other words, you don't want to be a beinoni, he's telling you, right? You want to go from gova lev and you want to go to the opposite extreme and to be a shafal ruach, and you want to remain a shafal ruach. And the Rambam quotes different sources. For example, he says, what do we say by Moshe Rabbeinu? So he says, the pasuk says, anav ma'od, right? So the emphasis there is on what? What word is going to be important for the Rambam? Ma'od. Because ma'od sounds like, it's extreme, right? It's not just an anav, he's an anav ma'od. So it's telling you want to go to the, right? Moshe's anivus was to the extreme. Ma'od, then he quotes Chazal, right? Pirkei Avos, ma'od, ma'od habi shafal ruach. Right, again, in other words, the shafal ruach is to an extreme, right? In other words, you want to, the shafal ruach is not in the medium, it's to going to the extreme. Varam, he quotes a pasuk, right? Kolam ugbi olibo, kofar ba'ikar, right? Shemar varam levechav, shachachtas, Hashem lokecha. And then he says the same thing by Kaas. The very two midot that he pointed out in Halacha Bet, that he said that if you have these traits, right, you want to go to the opposite extreme to break them, but then in order to be in the middle, right, we're Gova Lev and Kaas. That's exactly, those are the ones that he's telling us now in Gimel, that you don't want to be in the middle. You want to go to the opposite extreme. You want to uproot the Gova Lev, and you want to uproot the Kaas. And he says clearly, he says, "V'yilamid atzmos shelo yichos." You're teaching yourself, you're preparing yourself. He says that there's no kaas at all. Afila davar roy lichos love. Even if it's something that's roy, that's fitting for kaas, imrotzel lahatil emal bana b'mnei beso. Right, famous thing. The Rama says, "Fake it." Right, there's situations where you're going to need to express kaas. So he says you shouldn't feel the kaas, but you should fake it. But he says, right, tia daito miyusheva salav beno lebein asmo. Right. So that basically you're not really experiencing the kaas. And then he quotes a number of chazal also to support the idea about how bad kaas. So the way I see it, I mean, I'm just to present the problem, is I think that it's really two examples, but it's one problem, which is that if you have a principle of a mida beinonis, a mida emtzayi, and all of these halachos are telling us that a person shouldn't be on the extremes and he should, right, work on his character to be in the middle, how can you have these examples where you have these deviations? The first example of the deviation, right, is the chassid, right? And that's not only about gova lev and about kas. It seems that could be other traits too. He says the chassid is nota himself, it's sad, to different sides where he'll veer from the mean. But here he's saying by kas and by gova lev, he's saying those are traits that should be completely eradicated, so that the person's going to the opposite extreme where he doesn't experience kaas at all, and he doesn't experience gaiva at all. It's a contradiction, right, from what he just said in the previous halacha. So that's the main problem I wanted to present. Okay. Now, I have to be honest, I really don't know. I didn't know if this is something that is you've had classes on, you've discussed this before in Shiurim. Am I talking about something that's so, you know, that maybe is obvious to everybody here who's studied this before? I don't know. I just, you know, I wasn't sure exactly if you've discussed this before and what your thoughts are. But I can just say, every time I've seen these halachos, I'm always amazed by the contradiction. It always seems to me like a clear problem. So I'll throw it out, open it up, and if anybody wants to give any solutions and any answers. I will just say one thing before, if anyone wants to present an idea, that there is an approach that exists really more in scholarship, which I think is problematic, and I'll just talk about it for 1 minute, which is that there are scholars that want to say that the Rambam, the idea of the golden mean is really something that the Rambam has, but that he really favors the idea of the chassid and breaking away from the golden mean, almost like two levels. The golden mean is one level, and that's for most people starting off in life. And they need to go on the golden mean, and they need to try to use that to balance themselves. But there's a higher level person, okay, a higher level individual. The higher level individual is not just a chacham, right? He's like the Navi. And when you get to the higher level, I don't know, only a Navi, but the point is that when you go to a higher level, you're going away from the mean, and you adapt these patterns of these practices of the chassid, where you go to certain extremes in different situations. So part of one of the reasons why the scholars like to give that approach is they like to say that this is a good proof that the Rambam in these situations really veered away from Aristotle, because the golden mean is something that is found in Aristotle, and they want to say that Aristotle, when it comes to these traits like gova lev and kaas, Aristotle also talks about them, but he also says the person should be in the mean, in the middle, and he doesn't have any idea of veering away to opposite extremes. So they wanted to say, oh, you see from these cases that the Rambam really maintains that Aristotle and the golden mean is correct to a point, but the higher level individual breaks away from that and he goes to these opposite extremes. So I just wanted to say what that is an approach, but there's a problem. I mean, could anybody, what would you say about that approach? How would you respond to that approach? Do you think that that's could be acceptable, or is there a problem with that? Right, yeah.
Does he say which side to go to? Is it always just the opposite side from where you started? Or is there a better side that the chassid's always going to veer?
Okay. Yeah, so in the case of the chassid, he doesn't say, it seems to be dependent. In certain midot, he'll go one way, in certain midot, he'll go the other way. The only thing is that he says in the next paragraph that kaas and gava, those who want to go to the opposite. Right. By Moshe, so in terms of anivus, you mean the Torah calls him ana? It's an ana mode, ana mode. Right. Doesn't use the term chassid there. The Rambam's using the term chassid.
Yeah, I guess I was going to say, I mean, you preface it that it's, I guess, maybe not correct for that, but it sounded like he was maybe saying that between Beis and Gimel, because he starts off with Beis, he's saying...
Paragraph.
Oh, I'm sorry, Paragraph Beis,
thank you, okay, yeah.
Because he starts off, I mean, saying, Kitza Hebrew Luwasam.
Right.
So it sounds, I mean, what I was thinking was, he's giving you the method to... fix this mida,
right.
Maybe not stay there, but there's a method for addressing the problem. If
right.
You don't stay there, that's not the highest level. The highest level is the gimel.
Right.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, it goes to what you said happening.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess so. One thing there is just to, on our response in terms of in bet, he does say you're right when the person's sick, so he's going, right, in other words, going to the opposite extreme there. But then he does say there that you should be Yachsul Ladarchem Saz, Shi Derech Tova, Yelech Bakol Yamav. Right, so Yelech Bakol Yamav sounds like that's really where you want to be. It's hard to, right, in other words, Yelech Bakol Yamav means that's, right, you're not going to.
Uh-huh, okay. I guess the thing that's kind of like a bending kind of shy,
Right.
I mean, maybe, I'm just saying, maybe that's not the highest.
Oh, okay, so, right. Yeah, yeah, okay, good. So the question is, so how do, all right, so, so the question is maybe these are levels, and maybe one level is higher than the other level, right? Okay, so again, anybody want to respond on that point? Any thoughts about why that might be problematic?
Well, it doesn't address the contradiction.
Right.
Because he's still contradicting himself. He should
yes.
express it that way.
Right.
And it says, no, people, the HL shall also roll off them. He actually comes out and just says it's also.
Right.
So that approach is not what the Rambam was saying.
Right. You mean, because in before he wasn't saying it's osur, and now he's saying it's osur.
It's like you said, it's still a contradiction. It's
right.
Levels, so then you would have to say, there's the basic level, which is vanity, and then there's the
chassid. The chassid. Right.
Well, I mean, for the vanity, it describes it as the hashara.
Right.
And for the
Chassid,
he doesn't call it anything. He just says there are some people that do this.
Right.
It seems
that's not clear that it's better.
Right. In other words, he doesn't seem to say it's good.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just the thing is that I think that, you know, I'm going to mention it now. And I think that this is going to be the problem when you start speaking about these things in levels, is that so all of this, right, this whole idea of being in the middle and the idea of the meat of vein and the staff, and so is, what does it all fit under? Right? What's it doing here? What's the category? What is it, right? What does it fit under? So it fits under a certain mitzvah. Okay, which mitzvah does it fit under? So the first answer is the first mitzvah in the Koteret is Lehidamut Bedrachav. Lehidamut Bedrachav is to act in a way to follow the midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to follow in his traits. Okay, now how does this fit under it? So the Rambam says when he's describing the middle, you know, the middle path. So after the halacha that we read, it's still in the first parak. He says at the end of Hey, he says Mitzuvin anu lalachas bidracham elu habeninim. Right, we're commanded to go in the derech, right, the beninim, and there's in that derech. So he says, we're commanded to go in the derech beinani. Okay, based on what? He says that's the mitzvah of halachta bedrachav. So the mitzvah of halachta bedrachav is telling us that what? That we should be the derech beinani. And then he says, kach lamdu beperish mitzvah zu, mahu nikra chanun, af atahaye chanun. So, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a chanun, right? He's a rachum, so too we should be chanun v'rachum. So it's a little difficult if the mitzvah of halachta bedrachav is teaching you that you should be bederach emtsai, to be in the middle. It's hard to say that then there's a higher level of a chassid who isn't in the middle, right? Meaning, how do you have a mitzvah that's structuring, that's telling a person how to behave and live, and this is the way to fulfill the mitzvah? Then there's a higher level, and the person's not fulfilling the mitzvah. Right.
Some of this guy is on a higher level, so he doesn't follow it.
Right. So if the Rambam didn't say that there's a mitzvah of halachta bedrachav, and he didn't tell us the bederach emtsai is that mitzvah, then you could maybe have said that there's different levels, and that this is for one level, and this is a higher level, and right, you could look, you know, put it in that framework. But once you tell me that this is the mitzvah of halachta bedrachav, and that's telling you to be bederach emtsai in the middle path, it's very hard to see now that there are exceptions right from the mitzvah.
So, I don't know if it fits exactly, but I was thinking perhaps the way to heal somebody is to push them off to one extreme or the other, depending on where they start. So perhaps a chassid, maybe he knows himself better. He knows where he started, and he knows that his natural inclination is always going to draw him to that side. So if he comes a little left of center or right of center, depending on where, naturally he's going to consistently draw right toward the center. If he keeps himself a little off of that, he's really going to have much more of a straight path in that middle. So maybe that's the idea, that the goal is to have that center path, but if he stays on the center path, it's going to naturally pull him toward his natural inclination.
So I see. You mean you're saying, in other words, that he knows that the middle, he can't, you're saying, I think, is what I'm saying,
yeah.
He can't stay in the middle.
Yeah.
He knows himself, and yeah. He knows his nature, he knows he can't.
It's always
stay in the middle.
That's where he started. Naturally,
so let's say he knows. So if he knows he's going to be, he, in other words, he's a guy who loves to eat and he enjoys his food and he knows that's his personality. He's not on the ascetic side.
Right.
Right. Most people probably aren't on the ascetic side. Right. They probably, most people are on, they enjoy their food, right? So he knows he enjoys his food and so now for him, and he's not going to be in the middle is not good for him because he's going to have a hard time staying there. He's going to fall himself back to the, back to eating.
Yeah.
Too much. So he needs to be a little more to the ascetic side to counteract the fact that he can't really remain in the middle.
Right, right. And naturally, he's going to sort of lean toward the middle as long as he keeps pulling himself.
Right. Right. So then, but is he really doing, is he really fulfilling the derech
of
emsah? Right. Is he really doing the midah bein in this stuff?
Ultimately, he's got to be doing one or the other, and that's. So either if he's doing the chassid, then he's not doing the benes. If he's doing the benes, then they're not doing the chassid. So
right.
Right, right. That's the only problem with
I mean, I think what you're saying, I mean, it makes sense. I think it's true that it could be that you're saying that there's the reason to go from the mean to one side is because he recognizes that he's more drawn to one.
Right.
But then the only thing you could say is also, you could say is that that's something he has to work on to not be drawn to that so that he really can remain in
right, right.
Right, and I guess what I'm saying is that he didn't really break.
Solve
the problem. Right. Means that he's not really able to stay in the mean. Means that he's not really.
Yes.
Could be. I didn't think about more, but. Okay. Any other thoughts, suggestions?
Yes. And you're saying that when you're talking about the inside, you're really saying, like, let's say you're on one of the sides, and you have your natural disposition, if someone comes up and hits you, do your natural disposition. You have one guy whose natural disposition is to automatically get angry and act that way, and one guy's disposition is to be a lowly person and they'll just take it. So the anxiety means that you shouldn't be, your natural disposition should be to just not have any natural reaction and just like react to the situation. So what should the reaction be? And that's why he's calling that middle a chacham, because it's someone he's not like reacting just automatically and instinctively.
Good.
He's saying, okay, so how should I act? Now that's why I don't think that it's necessarily so. And so he's not saying how a person necessarily should act. He's saying that a person should not have his natural inclination should not be either way. It should be just be able to assess that in each situation. All right, how should I act now? So the Rambam says in Parakei Zot Gimel, each day which also other linhok man is saying in terms of acting. Then you're in the Amsa you're chacham, but it should never be a situation where you're going to be acting with chas. I mean, there's never. He's not reacting instinctively to the situation, just drawn to either way, but that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, say that to act in a certain way be better to set it up.
Right. Right, I hear what you're saying. Right. You're saying the emsai is really a person who's acting with reason, right? But, so now, okay. But then you're going to say, so now, so should he, so there are certain situations, so why is he allowed to veer off from the middle and go to one extreme? Like, let's say in terms of Gova Lev or Shafel Ruach, why is he, isn't he now going to the opposite extreme? I mean, let's say that's true, that them say, so now why is it still okay to go to the opposite extreme? No, I'm just saying, not if he's trying to heal himself, even if he's in the Beinoni level, right? So why is it okay for him to go to one extreme? Why isn't he breaking the principle? Or why isn't he, like, let's say, not following the mitzvah of Halachta Bedrachav when he goes to one extreme?
Well, he's someone now who can assess how he should be acting. Meaning, the point is that he's not naturally reacting.
Right.
Based on his normal, you know, based on just how he's thinking about it. All right. For me, what's better right now is to be a little more shuffle roll now.
Right. Okay. I think you hear what you're saying. It's good. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
Just to restate the problem. The problem is that how can you have you already have a mitzvah to take the middle path.
Right.
The problem is how can you have like a mitzvah that's better than that?
Well, you're saying you have a mitzvah to be in the middle, and then you have exceptions where you're telling a person to not be in the middle.
Right.
Right?
And those exceptions are exceptions?
Well, Gova Lev and Kas, you're supposed to be the opposite, right? You're supposed to be the extreme in terms of eradicating Gova Lev and Kas. So that's an exception, right? That's exceptions.
Okay.
And then you have the chassid, who's a person who, in different situations, depending on the midah, he also seems to veer from the middle. Right? So those two situations, the person's not, right, he's not, he seems not doing the derech emsai, then he's not doing the halach the bedrach of the right way. Right? Does that, that's the, right, that's the original problem. Okay, so,
I think I was thinking along the same lines. The way I was thinking about it was that the, kind of like the way he expresses it, not going the way you're naturally inclined, but the way I was thinking was that it's like not, you're not going the way of, these are two extremes which are, you know, which are pulling at you, and you want to be not influenced by it, but by either one. So if you have something like, maybe what they're on the same is that there is no real human like emotional inclination towards Shaw-Ruach. So that's going to express itself, itself differently there.
But the only thing is that in the first halachos he does say that there are people that are naturally shafal ruachs, and they have to overcome that. Right, that is the problem. In the beginning, he doesn't just say there are people that are balei gaiva who need to overcome it. He says there are also shafal ruachs. Right, in the very beginning of the first halach, yeshu shafal ruach ad ma'od. So apparently that's a starting point too, which isn't good. That there are people in this world who are just shafal ruachs, and that's something you have to overcome as well. Right, and get to the middle. Yeah. So, anyone want other thoughts? I mean, basically, I like the approach of what you're saying. I want to just talk it out a little bit, but I think what you're saying is I'm thinking something similar. I'd like to try to just approach it with really three steps, and I'm going to try to go through the three steps just to try to talk it out and spell it out as clear as possible. So, just the first step. And I think you'll see as I go through the three steps at the end, it should hopefully be clear. The first step that I think is really helpful is just to think about this idea of the mean, right? What is this idea of the mean? It's just the concept of the mean in the middle. So I think the most basic problem is just what does it even mean? In other words, two extremes, to be in the middle of two extremes, how do you determine that? How do you find out what that is? So you're going to have a problem. I mean, are you going to do it based on the society that you're living in? Are you going to do it based on you as an individual and your personal capabilities and extremes? So, let's say you're living in a society, and in that society, on the extreme, you'll say, the way people are eating, right? So it's an extreme. It's a certain type of society where the way they're eating is on one extreme. And then you go all the way and you go to the opposite extreme and you say an ascetic. So there, the middle is going to be one point. Now you go to a different society and it'll be something completely different. Let me just like a practical example, you'll say with work. So you'll say, let's say you're living in New York and you'll say on one end people work 13, 14 hours a day. And now you'll say, so you take the opposite extreme, you say guy doesn't work at all. So now you come to a middle and you'll say I'll work 7 hours. Right? But now you can go to another society and you'll say that's not really the middle. Maybe that society, the extreme, people are working 7, 8 hours, right? So now the middle's what? To work 3 hours or 4 hours? So I think when you start to think about the middle, you're going to have a problem. Is that all of these things are all going to be relative to what? How do you determine what the middle is going to be? Every society is going to be different. In any given situation, it's going to be different. And I think the problem, it is, I think in general, if you take this and you try to actually implement this in your life, I think one of the problems that you end up having is you're looking at people around you and you're trying to say, oh, well, I'm the middle type of guy. You know, there are people who, let's say, spend money this way, and there are people who spend money that way. So is the middle simply to just pick it in the middle and say, well, you know, I'm not going to spend money on the $100,000 car, not on this, you know, so I'll pick a car in the middle. That's one way to look at it, but the problem is all of this is subjective because you can then just say, look, if you're living in Israel, their middle is probably a lot different than the middle in America in a lot of things. So, yeah.
So obviously, you translated Deus as character traits, right?
Right.
So obviously, Kas and Gaiva are character traits. Can you apply things as that character traits, like buying a car or working time?
Well, he does. I mean, most of the time he talks about character traits, but he does. He does speak about work. In one case, he does speak about work. And he speaks about Taiva, right? And there's a person's involvement in pleasure. So he speaks about money, right? Spending money. He says a person could be very cheap, and then the opposite is that you're very, careless with your money. You spend money very quickly. So it's about character traits, but it's also about a lot of these situations. It's really practical in the sense that it gets to how you spend your money, how you enjoy yourself. You know, it goes everywhere.
It's about yourself, right? It's like if someone who spends a lot of money, then he should move back in the middle.
Correct. Correct. But my point is just that how do you figure out what the middle is? It's just all going to be relative, right, to people around you. That's usually the way you're looking at these things. And you know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure how you're going to get to a middle. It's just going to be dependent. It's always going to be different depending on where you are. And you'll see this. If you have conversations with people, sometimes you'll be surprised. You'll say, oh my gosh, you'll say what they consider to be a normal way of living or a normal way of spending money in by some other standards is completely ridiculous, right? And vice versa, right? All along the spectrum. So I'm just pointing one point, which is that if you're going to determine what the middle is, it seems like it's very hard to do based on just looking around people around you, right? You're going to determine what the middle is based on yourself. You're going to say, well, I could spend this amount or I could act this amount, but the opposite extreme is zero. It also becomes very subjective. So I think one step, which I think is helpful, is to take a look at the concept of the Mida Beinonis is not being based on people around you or society or yourself, but it's not quantitative. In other words, it's not 50% in the middle of two extremes, but it's more of a qualitative idea, which is, I think, like what you were saying before, which is that, you know, in other words, a person can be born, okay, and they can have a certain emotional tendency, okay, to one extreme. And then a person can even have the emotional tendency to the opposite extreme. The middle would be when you're not living based on either emotional tendency, but you're living based on rational decisions and thoughtful, you know, kind of process of thinking. And the decisions are being made in accordance with reason. So just to give an example, I think when we look at how he describes it, I'll show you what I mean. He says like this, this is also in Perek Aleph. So he gives a couple of examples of being in the middle. And he says like this, he says, in this is also in Halacha Dalet. He says the Lo yichos el al davar gadol shiroi lichos alav. Okay, kedesh lo yasek kiyotzibo pamacheres. So meaning the kas, when the person does have kas, right, so in the middle of Dalet, it's going to be kas for something that's really worthy of kas. Or for example, when he talks about tava, so he says, lo yitava el advarim shagot tsarach lachen. B'yefshar lichios en bezulatan. So now the person experiences pleasure in his desires, but it's for things that are necessary for the body. Then he says, "V'chein lo ya'amel be'isko," his involvement in work, "elahasik davar shesarach lo." So he works to the degree that he needs to involve himself and make money for the things that are necessary. "V'lo yikbos yado biyoser, v'lo yafazer kol mamona, ela nosing staka." So, let's say a guy's cheap and he doesn't give staka, or the guy goes on the opposite extreme and he just gives out money to anybody. So, what's the middle? The middle is not 50% that you're giving half of what people are giving or what you could be giving. It's nosin staka kafi masas yado umal bekaroi lemishet sarach. So it's a thought out process where you're giving to somebody who needs it, but you're giving the right amount based on what you can give, right? So it's like a process where the person really has to reason it out and work it out. In other words, you're gonna, in all of these traits, the middle is never a question of it's a quantitative point where it's in between two extremes. It's always where you're free from the emotional pull in either direction, and because you're free from certain emotional pulls, you're able to make a decision which is appropriate and which is fitting and which is rational and makes sense. That's basically the middle path. Okay, that's the first thing I would say is just to try to give it an approach. Now, just to give an example, I think this is I see this a lot, and I see this with students that I have in school and with teachers. You see, students sometimes will come and they'll say something like this. They'll talk to me. They'll say, this teacher, specifically they'll say this about new teachers sometimes. They'll say, this new teacher, they'll say, this teacher's crazy. Okay, this is usually the way a conversation starts out. And I'll say, what do you mean? Why is the teacher crazy? So this is the way usually the conversation will go. The teacher will get angry, or he'll scream, or he'll lose it, or this, or they'll say, I walked in late, and then I got penalized, and somebody walked in, and he didn't say anything. And they'll start giving all kinds of examples. And usually when you start talking about it, what all these basically examples boil down to is that the teacher's responses to students are not rational. They're basically very, very, you know what I mean? They're on the spectrum. There's no consistency to it. So a kid will talk, you know, to another kid, and he's getting yelled at if it's the biggest thing in the world. Meanwhile, a kid can walk in 15 minutes late, and he doesn't say anything. You know what I mean? So kids will look around, and they'll see that the teacher's responses to the students are inconsistent. They're basically always, you know, depending on how the teacher's feeling at any given moment, the teacher's responding in all kinds of different ways. So from the standpoint of you're thinking about this as a trait in terms of the midah, the midah beininess would mean that the teacher's thought out in terms of his responses or her responses to their students. And there's a system in place, and it's rational. And, you know, what a kid gets for being late is one thing, and it's consistent. And what a kid gets for this, you know, for talking is consistent. And it's given out across the board in a consistent way, and everybody is really getting what they deserve in the right way. Now, that it's not a question that the teacher looks and says, well, what do teachers do out there in the world, and I'm going to pick a middle between what 100 teachers are doing. It always has to be a thought-out process of just relating to the people in front of you, giving them what they need or what's due to them in a consistent way at the right moment, at the right time. And it's thought out so that there are different days that could call for different contexts may even call for different things. Right? Could be that on one day, a teacher recognizes that the context is such that it's not a problem that students are walking in late, because that day, that context, that's what's appropriate. It's that type of atmosphere. Could be on a different day the teacher recognizes that that's not the appropriate mode of operating. But the point is that the whole idea is to be free from the emotions of being angry, or let's say being spiteful, or getting quick responses, so that the person's really making decisions that are appropriate in all the given situations. So that's the first idea. And I think the next step, and then I'll get to the third step. The next step is that the Rambam basically, when you look at the halachos that we read before about gava and kas, it's clear that he maintains that gava and kas are different than all other midot. Because gava and kas have to do with the person's sense of self, and it really is in a more intrinsic way, it has to do with their relationship with God. So the person who's a baal gaiva, he can't relate to God in the appropriate way. Right, the person who experienced kas, I mean, we could spend more time talking about kas, but kas seems to be very similar to gaiva, in that the person's frustrated and he's upset, he's angry when things don't go his way, right? In other words, it's also kind of an expression of gaiva. But in both those cases where he talks about gaiva and kas, he looks at those traits as being so bad, so harmful for the person's relationship with God that they have to be removed. And a lot of the different statements that he's quoting from Chazal are to show you that any level of gaiva or any level of kas is going to affect the person's relationship with God in a much more intrinsic way than any of the other traits. So to put it together, what I would just like to say, and this would really be the third step, is that if the person is free from the extremes, right? In other words, if a person has one natural tendency to an extreme, and he works on himself and he overcomes it so that he's able to be balanced and be in the middle, he can at that point make a rational decision to veer away from the middle. And that's not really going against the midah beininess. In other words, it's consistent with the midah beininess. Because the reason why the person's going to an extreme, okay, is based on thought, it's based on reason. It's a decision that the person's making. In other words, it's based on the fact that the person recognizes the harm in gava or the harm in kas. That's different, right, than the person who is just naturally not able to get angry. So in other words, the way I would just try to suggest to approach the contradiction is that when the Rambam in the very beginning in Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, says that if the person is a kohes, tamid, that's not good, then the opposite extreme is the person who's an eno kohes klal, right? So what do? You want to get to the middle. An eno kohes klal means that's your natural disposition, is that you're not capable of experiencing those feelings. Okay, that's not good. But that's not the same thing as what he's saying later, which is that once the person is in the meat of baininess and he's overcome the fact that he was at that extreme and couldn't experience those feelings, once he's overcome that and he's trained himself to be in the middle, if he makes a conscious choice that's rational, that's based on reason, and there's a purpose involved, and he adopts an extreme path in terms of kas and gaiva, that's not a deviation from the middle path, right? From the meat of baininess. It is the meat of baininess, because the meat of baininess isn't a percentage. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not a number to be in the middle of two extremes. It's to be free from the emotional patterns that are within your nature, and to remove yourself from them so that you could then be in the middle and make a rational decision about how to behave in any given situation and how to respond to people in a way that's appropriate. Now, once you're in the middle, if you decide that the right way to behave is to go to the opposite of gava and to go to shofar ruach, that's a conscious decision. That's not deviating from the mean. It's a fulfillment, really, in a certain sense, because that is the mean. You're acting rational and you have a decision. You recognize the harm of gava, you recognize the harm of kas, and you realize that those things are an impediment, that a person can't develop his relationship with God because of those feelings. That's not the same thing as a person who just couldn't feel that way or who is on that extreme because of their natural inclination. So it really, in a certain sense, you could put it together, isn't a contradiction. Once we define the mean, the medium, in a correct way, and we realize that it's not the middle of paths, but it's a state where the person's rational and he's thoughtful and he's free from the emotional extremes, and then he's choosing what to do, then if he has to choose to go to an extreme for a purpose, it's consistent with it. And it's a similar type of an idea with the derech of the chassid. The derech of the chassid is, again, he's in the middle, so he's freed himself from the emotional tendencies on either extreme. Now, if he makes a conscious decision, and this, I think what you're saying is true, is that if he makes a conscious decision to veer one way for a certain purpose, and it's being done out of reason, then it is part of the middle path. It's not really a deviation from the middle path. It's consistent with it. So that was what I was thinking, just in terms of trying to approach the contradiction. And I think also just as... Yeah, questions. I mean, questions, please. So can you just, again, what's the question? I mean, how would you ask it?
What does middle mean if it's not quantitative, which is, I think...
I asked similar questions.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you're not defining it by what they do...
Right.
Isn't that... The baininess is meant to describe behaviors.
Right.
Activities or tendencies.
Right.
And acting in that a certain way. So if you're going to go to the extreme, even after you reach baininess, even if it's rational or calculated, that doesn't seem what the baininess is, the midah. Unless you're saying the midah is to naturally be inclined to go either way, versus how you act is not how you're defining the midah, but it's your propensity. And then you can rat, and then if you have the propensity to see it in the middle way, and then you talk one go the other way, you know, then you're still in baininess. But that's not a simple way to interpret it when you're talking about, co-ace or baininess.
Meet up baininess means non-overindulgence. That's the definition.
What does that have to do with middle then?
Well, this one, again, if you're asking me what do we mean by the middle, why he's using the term the middle, I'm saying is that it's because if a person is naturally born, and they naturally grow up in a way where their feelings and their kind of innate tendencies are guiding them, they are going to be guided in all kinds of different directions. Their responses to things are always based on those tendencies. The middle is when you freed yourself from responding to situations in life based on your innate behavior and tendencies. Now, if you're saying that's not the simple understanding of the middle, I agree. But I'm proposing that I don't know, I mean, to me it seems that that's, if you're going to take a very simple understanding of the middle, you're never going to be able to explain why he's telling you to veer away from the middle. You know what I mean? How do you work out two things? You're saying the middle means to be in the middle in simple terms, but then he's always saying, he's telling you in these situations, go away from the middle. So what I'm just trying to say is that to take the middle and to just say it means the middle, you have these problems, right? If you look at the middle in more of a qualitative way, that's what I'm trying to say, as opposed to quantitative, and you're saying it's a certain state where the person's free from, you know, these innate emotional drives where he's not responding to people and responding to situations based on, you know, tendencies that are innate, but it's a state where the person's being rational and thoughtful, and that's what he says. The examples that he gives are where the person is. The Rambam doesn't say he gives, you know, tzedakah 50%, or he gives the amount of money that half the, you know, he doesn't talk about quantities or anything like that. He's saying he gives tzedakah to the right person, to the right amount, right, and based on what he can give. So to me, it seems like he's pointing to that it's a whole thought out process in terms of how he's giving his tzedakah. But he's not giving tzedakah based on how he feels at any given moment, right? So in that sense, that's what he means by Beinoni, right? Beinoni is a state, right, where you're freed from you're responding to things in kind of those emotional and innate kind of tendencies that a person is driven by. Once you're in that state, then you can make the most rational and the best decisions and respond to things appropriately. Now, the question would be is, now, if you're in that state and a person recognizes the harm of kaas, so then he could move to the opposite extreme and try to remove it completely. But that's because he's made a thought-out decision and he recognizes the harm in it. That's very, very different from the person who he starts off in Perek Aleph and he's an Eino Margish Klal. Eino Margish Klal just means that you're so timid you can't get angry because you don't have the emotional makeup to do it. But that's not Perek Bet Halacha Bet, the person who says, there's an isser to be a koes because you know all of the dangers involved in terms of, you know, the philosophical and the ramifications of it. That's a different type of eino margish, because it's being done for an objective, for a certain goal. Right? Question? Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the difference between a chassid and a chacham? Because a chassid sounds like isn't the derech benoni, like you're saying, because he's making rational decisions. And
right.
What a chacham's doing as well. Sorry, they don't sound the same person.
Right. Okay, good. Right. So I think that's a good question. I think it seems is that the chassid is somebody who, given that he either, let's say, he finds himself in certain situations, let's say in certain type of society, or he maybe, like, you know, maybe like you were saying before, he knows certain things about himself. So he recognizes that there may be a certain advantage in veering one way. Okay? But the point is that he's doing it again because of certain rational considerations, and it's a thought out process. So he's not just simply veering that way because that's where his feelings are taking him, right? The chacham is somebody who just simply is, I mean, in a certain sense, is responding in the middle of the extremes, right? To give a situation. Actions, personality. But the chassid is veering away, but again, in other words, it's like he's showing you that there are situations where a person, let's say when you're looking at the person from the external end, you may say, okay, their behavior may be a little more to the extreme than the middle path, right? But the point is that he's not, it's still not a abandoning the middle if it's being done, again, out of rational kind of considerations and there's a purpose and there's an objective and, you know, based on that type of calculation.
So would you say that the chassid and the chacham are equal in terms of their middleness?
That's what I'm trying to say. They are different in their behavior, but they're not different in the fact that they are both fulfilling halach the bedrachav, and they're both fulfilling the derech beininess.
Then why would a chassid be a finisher or something? Because it sounds like being in the middle is what you would
try to be. Right, that's...
So why would it be...
I mean, what's the advantage there? Why is he talking about it being lifting in Mishur Sedin?
They're not really the same, though. It sounds like it really is the beininess.
There is, right.
He's really, if you draw it on the compass, he's in the center in terms of how he reacts and perceives situations.
Right.
And then you talk about the guy, what he does. He's not governed by his knee-jerk or instinctual or emotional response.
Right.
The chassid, his knee-jerk emotional response tends to be, in the area of chassidus or in terms of being sraphic from bad things, tends to be...
In one way.
Yeah, I mean, so he, that's just in terms of where they're starting from is on that compass.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with it. You can't just leave yourself a chassid.
Right.
Certain people are born that have natural tendencies to be Moroccan in certain ways or
right.
be more sensitive to others. And if their propensity is in the right direction, you don't try to discourage that and say, no, get them. That's not a bonus. Since it's already correctly oriented, you know, you wouldn't want to shift that. So it's allowing for, you know, less than, you know, it's not absolute objectivity.
Right.
If
but
non-objectivity is still...
Well, is it correctly shifted? Because that's the whole thing, is that it's all one way or the other, and that means he has a tendency to pull him off center, which isn't necessarily correctly. Oh, he has to read, I don't know, it seems like...
But your question about Lifnim Mishur Sadin, it's a good question. What exactly is he saying, and is the advantage of Lifnim Mishur Sadin, right? That's right. That's what you're asking, meaning in some level it sounds like there's something there that's better than, let's just say, the Chacham, right?
Right, you're saying it sounds like they're equal, they're both in the middle.
Well, I just want to say that they're both fulfilling the concept of Alachta Bedrachav, and he's not deviating from the mean. That's my main point. I agree, I'm not really trying to explain in what he is doing or in what sense is in some sense he better? Perhaps. But I don't think he's better in that he left the whole thing that the Rambam set up for Halachot and that he's doing something completely different. Right? That's the, yeah.
Is there a difference, to what you're saying, is there a difference between a guy whose emotions are extreme, but he doesn't act on them, he acts as if he's in the middle, he acts with Lachma.
Right.
Versus someone who trains his emotions to eventually get to a point where he doesn't even feel the extreme anymore.
It's a good question. I think that there is. It seems that he's saying that if a person knows his feelings and that he is a, you know, in one direction, right, on one extreme, he wants to be able to, even if he's not acting on them, I think he's saying that he wants to basically work on those feelings to balance them. Because there will be situations where they're going to express themselves. You know what I mean?
It's impossible to always be rational.
I'm saying if a person's natural... Right, now you're saying it's better that the person's able to control himself than not control himself. But if a person exists in a certain state where his feelings are very extreme in nature, he would say, I would assume he would say that you want to be able to balance them. Right.
Okay.
To balance it.
That means like work on emotions.
Correct. To work on those feelings that you have in order to be able to balance them. Or in order to balance them so that you're able to, right. And right. And respond to situations appropriately. Right. Well, yeah. Yes, yeah. Sure. Question.
You're done. If you're, done.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the basic summary is that the shield's up is to distance yourself from either side of the emotional spectrum, and you're just sort of operating rationally to make the proper decisions, why, can you explain why exactly the formulation for Kass, and I forget the other one, why is it formulated differently? Shouldn't it all just be the same?
Kass and Govalev?
Yeah.
Right. So I think what the Rambam is doing is he's picking those two midot, and he's saying that those two midot are really different than all other ones. Now, all of the midot will affect a person's relationship with God in different ways. Right? You're saying if a person's a Baal Taiva, that'll affect his relationship. And if a person, let's say, is in terms of his relationship with money, all of these things will in some way affect the person's relationship with God. Right? In somehow. You know what I mean? If a person, you know, practically different circumstances you can work out. But he's saying that these two are different. These two midot are different. Because it has to do with a person's sense of self, how he feels about himself, his image, you know what I mean, his value, his sense of how he values himself. He's saying that these are two midot that are very much related to each other that have to do with how you're viewing yourself. So, the upshot of his point is that it's like almost to say that the relationship that a person has with God will directly be expressed in how he feels himself, how he feels about himself.
But in other words, is this formulation basically saying,
shouldn't just take the approach of distancing yourself from either end of the spectrum and behaving rationally. Instead, you should be, you know, going to one of the extremes. And if so, how exactly should that manifest?
Well, again, I'm saying like this. I'm saying is that if a person has freed himself from his emotional extremes, right, in these areas, and now is balanced, if he understands the harm in Gova, Lev, and Kaas, and he distanced himself to the opposite extreme, right, that's acting with reason and it's appropriate, right? Meaning to distance yourself from Gova, Lev, because you understand the harm in it, is reasonable, it's rational. It's not going to want, it's not the same thing as the person who just happened to be on one emotional spectrum to begin with. So he's pointing out that there are two midot, that if a person understands the nature of those midot, what they will do to you and what and how they're tied to your relationship with God, you're going to consciously want to go to the extreme in those situations, all right, in terms of removing yourself from them. But again, I'm saying that doesn't mean that you're abandoning the Shvil HaZahav, right? Because once we explain that the Shvil HaZahav means that you're in a certain state where you're free from the emotional tendencies, and you're making decisions and they're thought out in terms of how to behave and how to proceed and how to obtain certain goals. If the person is trying to go from the opposite of Gaiva to Shofel Ruach because he understands that that's what's necessary in terms of his development, his relationship with God, that's part of the Shofel Ruach. But those are the only two midot that he specifically is pointing to that he's saying require that type of behavior.
Seems stronger though because it's usher.
Yes. It's true. He's, that's a good point. It's true. You're right. It seems like he's saying Chazal. Right. He seems to be saying that there's Isser involved. It sounds like it's but right. It sounds like halachas.
He brings in situations where you should be though.
Right. That you should be what?
That you should express this.
Where? Talking about the earlier situations where.
Right.
Right. He says right. There may be a situation that requires kaas.
Right.
Ideally, you don't want to have the kaas, but you want to fake it and get the desired effect.
It seems like there's just different things, though, that this is something that, even though there's situations where you shouldn't actually have it in your heart, these feelings. And it's usher to have that in your heart. It's usher to feel. But at the same time, there's certain times where you have to express it because of other reasons.
Right. So, I just want one more point. Again, if anybody wants any other questions or thoughts, but just one more point, which I think really, I think is part of this idea. I think it also helps clarify something else, which is when the Rambam talks about Valach de Bedrachav, and he says if you're in the Mida Beininess and you're in Mida Emsai, right, and you're Shvil HaZahav, he says that's part of, what is that fulfillment of? The mitzvah of Valach de Bedrachav, right? And then he says, Mahu Nikra Chanun Afata Chanun Mahu Nikra Rachum Ata, right? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, is a rachum, so too you should be a rachum. So there also, I think, you could have asked a question, which is you could have said, what does it mean that God operates as in the Midah Beininess? Meaning, is God, what does that mean? In other words, is his rachum in the middle of two extremes of rachum? Maybe we'll say he's Rav Chesed, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachumim is great, it's extensive, it's not... HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim isn't in between two extremes, right? Or his kedusha. He says he should be a kadosh, you should be a kadosh. So is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kedusha is it in between two extremes, right? What exactly does it mean to say that you're doing v'halach to bedrachav and you're a racham like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's a racham? So I think what we're saying is, and I think it could help to understand what that mitzvah is. There's one parak where the Rambam talks in the Mor Nevuchim, he talks about the midot as Moshe asked for knowledge and understanding of the midot, and he shows how HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him and showed him the midot in answering his request, and there what he basically describes is he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have real rachum, he doesn't really feel rachum, he doesn't have any of these feelings. Because he doesn't have any emotions, right? He created everything, but he doesn't actually have those emotions and those feelings. But so what does it mean when we describe him, when we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Rachum? Right? So he says we're describing his behavior, right? He says, in other words, his behavior is a behavior of a Rachum. He says, just like you would say, if a person gives somebody food and gives them sustenance, nourishment, they take care of them, he's a Rachum. But the action is a Rachum. So he says, that's what he says, when we're describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Rachum and a Chanun and Kadosh and all of those things, he says, we're not describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself as he is, we're describing his actions, the way he's acting. And he says, he'll be a Rachum to the person who deserves Rachamim, who's worthy of it, in the right situation, right? To the right degree. So I think now we could put it together, and I think one thing that the idea that develops here that we could to carry over is that the ideal way that a person can do v'halachta b'drachov and be a rachum like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rachum is how? When they're being a rachum based on a thought process involved where it's calculated, there's a decision that's made, it's rachamim to a person who's deserving of it when it's appropriate, as opposed to just simply being a rachum because a person has that inclination or that feeling. In other words, the fulfillment of a halachta bedrachov will be when the person is acting in any given in any of these given situations, when they're expressing attitudes towards people that are based on a thought out and reasoning and giving people in accordance with what's appropriate and what's due. That's basically how a Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with them. So to the greatest degree possible that a person can do that, they are going to be doing, they're going to be fulfilling a halachta bedrachov. So that also, I think, it comes out is helpful in just explaining what he means when he's saying, if you're Bederach Emtzai, then you're a Chanun, then you're a Rachum, just like he's a Chanun and a Rachum, right? It means that you're not responding to people based just on how you feel at any given moment, but you're responding to them in the way that's appropriate and that's fitting and that's best for them. So I think, any other questions? I'm happy to take any other questions, but I think there's a lot of practical ramifications of things that that you can use. You can think about this in a lot of different ways, from relating to people in terms of work, from relating to children, from relating to spouses and all kinds of situations. Just the idea of just being very thoughtful in terms of how we respond to people in given situations is all part of this this idea. Okay.
We're going to have food downstairs. I have to find out when the woman's chair is over, but we're going to go downstairs. I want to thank the sponsors, Yishon Nathamia and Ari and Jesse Fishbein. Let me just find out.
That's very nice. What about the personal? Which is other mitos that he has to How's that?
Oh, yeah.
Stop that.